Almighty God, by His spoken word, all things came into being. Speak to us this morning. Send your Holy Spirit into our midst to inspire us, to remind us the path toward our heavenly home, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In His name I pray. Amen. Good morning. Long time no see. So unless you're visiting, if you remember, you know Laura and I have just returned from a long trip, the second half of a two-part sabbatical, so we're through. We're very, very grateful to a church family that understands the importance of allowing its clergy this kind of leave every couple of years, and I thank you very much, and I thank the vestry and the wonderful staff we have who supported us during our absence and also kept things running smoothly while I was away. We visited three epicenters of the world's three great religions. We visited Israel and Turkey and Italy, and you'll no doubt hear more about all of those in the months ahead. But like any trip at its beginning, we were excited. We had never been to any of the places that we visited, but as with any long trip towards its end, we began to get excited about coming home. And we took notice. We occasionally struck up conversations with U.S. citizens we saw abroad. I have to say, whenever you're doing that, whenever you get to the part about what do you do, if you say, well, I'm a priest, it's a conversation killer right there. But one day, Laura and I were sitting in this cafe, and I looked over. I saw this old gent wearing a FSU, a Florida State cap, and having a son who graduated from FSU. I gave the fellow a little tug, and I said, hey, go Noles. The Noles, the Seminoles for Florida State. It's another college that plays football. And he turned, and he smiled, and we struck up a brief conversation. But it was made even more brief by his question. So where are you all from? Texas, I said with a big smile. Houston, Texas. Oh, I'm sorry, he said, rather cynically. And Laura and I, almost in sync, said, well, we're not. We love Texas. We love Houston. And if I had had just a little bit more coffee in me, I might have said something like this. We come from the state of wide open spaces and great fulfilled dreams. Two of our presidents were born in Texas, and two more call it home. One of them goes to church with us. We are home to the Texans and the Cowboys and the Spurs and the Rockets and the Astros and the Rangers. We love to hold up two fingers for one of our football teams, and we love to chant the Aggie War Hymn for the other. We love symphony, and we love country, and we love Western. And we gave America Jimmy Page, Willie Nelson, Buddy Holly, Don Henley, ZZ Top, Barry White, and Johnny Mathis. We have barbecue, real barbecue, stew and steer, and I have a I Heart Houston bumper sticker on my car. And when astronauts get in trouble, the first words out of their mouths are, Houston, we have a problem. So how's that for your silly, I'm sorry you live in Houston comment? I could have said all those things, but I just let it slide. But what it made me realize in that moment, all the more, is there really is no place like home. We do love Texas. We love Houston. We love St. Martin's very much. This is a great place to be. But Laura and I have lived in five states over the years. We've had, in our 29 years of marriage, we've had 12 different homes. We've had lots of places we called home. And you know, when you move around a great deal, it's hard sometimes to know where you really belong, to know, to appreciate, to claim to your true home. There's an interesting little scene in the classic story, Alice in Wonderland. If you know the story, you know Alice spends a great deal of her time in that book on a journey, but often she's not really sure where she's headed. And in one point in the story, she comes upon, you'll remember, the Cheshire Cat. And she says, would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? Well, that depends a great deal on where you want to go, says the cat. I don't care, Alice says. It doesn't matter which way you go, says the cat. So long as I get somewhere, Alice adds as an explanation. Oh, you're sure to do that, says the cat. If only you walk long enough. For you and I, here today, worshiping God, seeking a deeper relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, desiring to be more fully guided by the Holy Spirit in our day-to-day lives, we might ought to pause from time to time and ask ourselves, is the road I'm on, the road I'm traveling on, getting me to the place I want to be? Am I headed home? With each step I take, am I closer to the child God created me to be and closer to my permanent, heavenly, eternal home? Or am I on some different road? Am I maybe lost altogether? The Cheshire Cat really was right. You'll end up somewhere if only you walk long enough, but you might be walking in the wrong direction. I recently read about a new brand of shoes, and they're sold under the name of, I'm not kidding, No Place Like Home Shoes. And they are, again, not kidding, embedded with a GPS. You put on the shoes, you program them where you want to go, and then blinking red lights on the toes of the shoe will direct you turn by turn as you take a walk. So you don't have to look at your phone anymore. Just watch your shoes. Every now and then, though, I wish you could get that kind of shoe in a spiritual variety. So anytime you took the right turn on your way to your heavenly home, they might blink blazing white. And a wrong turn, maybe they'd blink red. All of us could use shoes like that, I think, from time to time. The portion of Paul's letter to the Romans today that Bruce read for us a moment ago says a great deal about traveling toward or away from God. Paul writes that left to our own devices, left without any GPS from God, we would live, he said, we would live according to the flesh. And the Greek word Paul uses for this fleshy way of living is sarx. If we were to transliterate it, it would be spelled S-A-R-X, which literally translated means your choices about which way to go in life are not based upon a desire for that ultimate home, but a temporary satiation of desire, guided more by our guts than by our God. What does that look like? Biblical scholar and professor Richard Carlson says, one who lives according only to the flesh is self-centered, self-serving, fractious, and autonomous. In other words, they've lost a sense of connection to anyone else and lost a sense of connection to God. And they're kind of meandering on whatever path they encounter without an end goal in mind or heart. Living according to the flesh is more than simply giving in to our natural desires, which we all do from time to time. Living according to the flesh means primarily looking out as a way of life for our own interest, embracing a kind of personal mantra of what's in it for me. And unfortunately, follow that path too long enough, and it leads to dangerous, even deadly places. A pair of GPS-guided, light-up shoes is no match for the darkness we might encounter if we give in completely to a fleshy, sinful way of life. Paul speaks plainly here. He says, live according to the flesh, and it ultimately means death. That's a stark, but it's a true warning. For instance, when you and not your spouse becomes the center of your marriage, the marriage starts to die. When you and not your friend becomes the most important piece in the relationship, your friendship begins to wither. When ethics or morality is breached in your work to benefit not the greater good, but the man or the woman in the mirror, then work is no longer a vocation. It's no longer a calling. It's a self-centered means to a personal end. And of course, when you seek your will over that of God's, you've stepped off the road that God is calling you to. You've forgotten your eternal destiny. You're walking away from life. So you're literally the walking dead. Better, isn't it, to wear God's shoes? That's another way of saying what Paul talks about here. He talks about the other way of life, which is to live by the Spirit. The Greek word for spirit here is pneuma, and literally translated, it doesn't mean you follow God and God sends a kind of Casper the Friendly Ghost to whisper you this way and that. But instead, He literally fills you with His essence. Your eyes become His eyes. Your ears become His ears. Your limbs and mind and heart, your soul all become His. We're guided more and more toward life instead of death. I'm going to get you to forgive the questionable source for a sermon, but I actually like what Marilyn Monroe said about shoes. She said, give a girl the right shoes and she can conquer the world. That is, however, what God's shoes really do. The leading of the Holy Spirit is God's great GPS invention. One that meets our needs at those most critical times, helping to lead us through the many twists and turns of life that rest before us. You'll remember when Dorothy is trying to find her way home in that film and also the novel, The Wizard of Oz. Glinda the Good Witch says to Dorothy, you always had the power, my dear. You just had to learn it for yourself. And then she tells her to click those ruby slippers together three times, repeat it again and again. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. And closing her eyes and remembering her true home, remembering where she really belonged, Dorothy's there almost in a heartbeat. What might the mantra be for you and for me? For those of us who proclaim to be followers of Christ, but who for whatever reason have stumbled off the path, have lost our way. Maybe we've even purposely run in the wrong direction away from home. What might restore our journey to the right path? What heels do we click to set ourselves back on the road home? Just this. Remembering who you are. Paul writes, to those who follow Christ, he writes, you are not in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in you. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, Paul writes, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through His Spirit that dwells in you. Can you even really comprehend that? If you're a Christ follower, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're no longer in the flesh. You're in the Spirit. The same Spirit that brought creation out of the primordial dust of the earth. The same Spirit that holds back the waves of the Red Sea. The same Spirit that lit upon Jesus in the River Jordan. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. The same Spirit dwells in you. Poet Maya Angelou, who died just a few weeks ago, used to like to say, all God's children need traveling shoes. And the shoes you and I travel with, the ones that get us through the ups and downs of this life, are shoes that bear the footprint, not of our own selfish ways, but the fingerprints of God who shod us with His shoes, who loves us so much that He wants to claim us for His own. Why would we travel on any road but His? Why would we turn in any direction but His direction? Why would we call any place home other than God? It's true, even for those of us who follow, from time to time we stumble off that path. Life in the flesh is usually only a step or two away for most of us. But when we do lose our way, which we all do, we need only, and it's an old-fashioned word, but it's a good one, we need only repent. which again literally means we need only to turn around, walk back to Him. And He's always there with open arms, ready to take our hands, ready to lead us home. I often hear things in my office like, my marriage, my friendship, my work, my spiritual life, it's not what I thought it would be. It seems lifeless. And that's usually because some step in favor of flesh over spirit has been taken. And the way back, always the way back, always the way back, is to open yourself to God's Spirit. To remember who you're called to be. Remember what you mean to God. Actually, I'm going to repeat a story I told a few years ago from this pulpit. I'd look back and make sure I hadn't ever told it, and I actually have. But I've thought of it again and again these last few weeks as we felt so far away from home here in Houston, Texas. And I've thought of it again and again as I, from time to time, stumbled off the path God has placed before me. I have this good friend who remembers a day many decades ago when he was a child and he was playing out on the front porch when his mother was in the, and probably only people my age and older would know what I'm talking about now. So she was actually shelling snap peas into a colander. What I'm talking about? This boy, we didn't always buy them in cans. You could go get them. So she was shelling those peas and he was playing on the front porch, and she was rocking back and forth. She was watching her son play in this little sliver of light that came down from the sun and hit the front porch. And at some point, he noticed that when he began to put his white shoes into the light, they kind of lit up. They brightened when he stepped into the light. And then he pulled his foot out, and he noticed they would get dark. And he said, "Mom, what is this?" And she smiled. She said, well, son, that's the smile of God. You're stepping in." And he began to jump back and forth into the sun. He would say, "Hey, Mom, look, I'm standing in the smile of God." And then he'd jump out and say, "Now I'm not." And then he'd jump back in and say, "Now I am standing in the smile." And he remembered that day for a long time. And then he forgot. And then many years later, my friend's mother died. And like many of us who've had to do this task for parents or for grandparents, he began to clean out her things. And he went up into the attic and he found this large chest and he opened it up. And he began to go through old pictures and some diplomas and scrapbooks and clothes. And at the bottom, he found this small box with a ribbon tied around it and a note with just his name on it. He carefully pulled that ribbon and he opened the box. And in the box he found two small white shoes. And under the shoes was a little piece of paper with this message from his mother, written in her hand, "Son, these are the shoes you wore when you stood in the smile of God." Some of us have forgotten that we're standing in the smile of God. We're weary, we're tired, we're burdened, we're trapped. We feel we've accomplished too much to escape our failures, or too little in our race for perfection. We've sinned too much, or we've held too fast to our own self-righteousness, and we seem to not be able to just let go and let God have us for who we are. We've wandered off the road to heaven. But you know, Jesus calls us back to the right path. "Come. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Answering that invitation to come is the first step on the journey toward your real home. Laura and I do love Houston. So glad to be back with friends and with family. It's home for now, but it's not our eternal home. The way to that home is to put on God's shoes, to remember who He calls you to be and who, by the same Spirit He sent to raise Jesus from the dead, you are. His beloved child, standing in His smile. Indeed, there's no place like home.